This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with Juliet Jacobs and T. Xiao Eek. So before the break, we were just doing a check-in on the recent news of a re-emergence of the H5N1 outbreak and whether we should be worried. So far, no.
No, because it's among chickens in China and very low transmission to humans.
And don't spread fake news.
That's right. Yes.
Keep calm.
So now on to our second story. We've been asking you a related question on Twitter.
Yeah, so we're asking, so we are going to be discussing the importance of supportive relationships when it comes to learning. So we're asking you if you had a good relationship with your teachers during your school years. So far, about almost 40% of you have said only with a few of them, but a resounding 46.5% have said yes. Mm. And there is a small margin, 14%, who have said no. But do keep tweeting us, you know, send us your thoughts. You can always call us at I've forgotten our number. You can call us at 03-7733-2900. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. Or as I said earlier, you can tweet us at BFM Radio.
So we're asking you this because we keep hearing how boys seem to be finding it more difficult to cope in an academic environment. Mm. You know, both locally and internationally, boys generally score lower at most levels in school. And when it comes to tertiary education, you know, in most places around the world, women are outnumbering men, particularly in terms of graduates. Mm. A study by clinical psychologist Michael Reichert, who is also the author of a book called How to Raise a Boy, The Power of Connection to Build Good Men. So he's found that the thing that helps boys learn best is for them to actually have strong and supportive relationships with the people that they're learning from.
Yeah, so Reichert's research is built on the premise that for several generations, we have been perpetuating stereotypes and myths about boys and learning. Mm. You know, things that like saying boys don't do so well in classrooms, boys don't do well with emotional intimacy. And these are stereotypes that then influence how we interact and raise boys. And they end up absorbing these norms and then adhering to how they think boys should behave. Mm. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm. Yeah, and Reichert has been working on the subject of boys, and learning for 30 years. And he says that boys are what he calls relational learners. So what this means is that they learn best within the context of strong relationships. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, in one study, he and his team gathered data from teachers and male students in six different countries, and they tried to get the answer for one simple question, which was what worked in terms of effective learning. Mm. So from the teachers, the answer that was most consistent was that they tried to capture the boys' attention, build a relationship with them, and then channel that into the lessons. Mm. But perhaps what is even more interesting is the response from the boys. The boys consistently described their teachers' personalities and the relationships they had with them. So to them, this was what stood out the most. Mm.
And this is important to know because it is becoming obvious that the different ways in which boys and girls learn is having an impact on their progress. Mm. So for instance, studies in the US show that boys are more likely to drop out of school than girls, and that boys account for approximately 70% of all suspensions and expulsions. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, back here in Malaysia, a 2016 study of 85,000 primary school children, and this was published in the International Electronic Journal of Elementary Education. So this study found that girls were outperforming boys at nearly every level in primary school. Mm. And meanwhile, according to a study by the University Science Malaysia back in 2015, when it came to universities, the gender gap by subject shows that more females enroll in 7 out of 8 major fields of study. Mm. And our current ratio of female to male graduates is 60% female, 40% male. So quite a wide gap there.
It is. Is it interesting what you mentioned about, let's say we go back to the school age and that boys account for, you know, a really high percentage of suspensions and expulsions. Mm. And again, the stereotypes come through there that boys are naughty, boys are undisciplined. Mm-hmm. I remember at our Health and Living Junior last year on the panel session where we talked about how to prepare children for the workplace of the future, one of of our panelists, Datuk Dr. Anwar Zaini, he was formerly the Vice Chancellor of University Malaya. He said that, you know, he's done studies as well, and he saw this gender divide even as early as Standard 4 in primary schools, actually. And he, from his observations and the studies that he's done, he's found that it's really, you know, a lack of understanding of the different learning aptitudes between boys and girls, and is made worse by, you know, what he called the teaching, the dogmatism in teaching, which alienates the boys and labels them as recalcitrants, as being stupid, and basically just being beyond help, when in fact they learn in different ways, but those needs are not being catered to.
So, you know, how does knowing this about boys, you know, that they are relational learners, how can this be applied into a classroom? So one aspect that Reichert points out is how to reach out to boys with learning or family issues, or boys who simply just, you know, refuse to engage. So he calls these relational breakdowns. And he says many teachers can often go into a defensive mode where, you know, they feel that they've done everything they can to reach out to a particular student, and so they just stop trying, you know. And he says, though, that for the boy, this breakdown can be very highly consequential and, you know, quite possibly turn them off certain subjects or school altogether.
So in this context, Reichert actually puts the teacher or the educator in the role of what he calls a relationship manager. And he says that they should be approaching this in a professional way, to look at it as them needing to take the lead, you know, and to instigate the repair for relationships that have been damaged. So he says this is because, according to his research, he found that even the high-achieving boys really struggle with approaching teachers when that relationship took a negative turn. So often the boys did nothing to fix the relationship, even though that relationship was important to them, because they didn't see it as something that was within their role. So in other words, you know, they saw this power distance or a power asymmetry between them and the adults and the teachers, and felt that it wasn't up to them to fix this relationship that has gone wrong.
Yeah, and to Reichert, this relationship between students and teachers, especially boys and their teachers, is so important that much more needs to be done to ensure that they stay strong. And this needs to happen from several angles. You know, he talks, for instance, about providing support systems within schools for teachers so that they can discuss the relationships and the issues that they have with their students. But he also says, you know, parents play a role. Parents need to recognize the importance of the relationship between the teacher and the student. And Reichert says, our job is not to swoop in and solve the problem, but to empower the boy to go back to the teacher and work it out.
So to get some insight from someone who does work in this area, I spoke to counselling psychologist Balasubramaniam Somasundram, who works with at-risk urban youth here in Malaysia through the Good Kids Social Enterprise. And I started off by asking him whether he agreed with the study that boys learn better within the context of strong and supportive relationships.
This is actually related to some of the researchers saying that first 3 years for any child's development, there must be some secure attachment which helps them to better develop their brains, where especially the prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for decision making, judgment, and, you know, making connections and all. Again, building trust and all. So if that's the case, then attachments are very, very important for kids. If they don't have attachments, then all the other negative effects of, you know, of the behavior will come out. So it is very important, crucial for attachment.
So from your own observations working with children, how are boys different in the way that they express themselves or the way that they connect with people?
We have been working with mostly kids at risk. So because of not being given the attention, they will exhibit a lot of negative behaviors. Attention, you know, not responding, a lot of fighting back behavior. But the minute once we see that, and then we start giving them attention, and then build rapport, and then look at positive things, and then give them positive strokes, we have seen a lot of changes in them. I think the good kids that we work with, this is the module we use. We have seen these kids from not showing interest in studies and all, after about 2-3 years working with them, looking at the positives, what they can do, like, you know, the music, the drums and all, we praise them. Every little thing, positive things they do, and then we give them the praise, the positive strokes, it makes a lot of changes. And then giving that attention, the personal attention, makes them feel important, make them feel, I'm worth something. and they start, because most of the kids, they're all looking for attention. Everyone, all of us look out for attention. So when we start giving them, it makes them feel special. It makes them want to respond to you. And again, wanting to get the positive reinforcement from you, they will start exhibiting the behavior that you are looking for. And this helps us to mold them to move forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that the good kids, the drumming and all, has really helped to make that change.
And do you think that this is different between boys and girls in terms of, you know, the kind of molding or the kind of expectations? Does this change the way they behave and the what they look for?
Yeah, that's the behavior part. But giving them attention, mm-hmm. you're looking for one behavior that you expect them to make a change. So we focus on that and you start working with the girls a bit more differently and the boys differently. But the main thing is giving them attention. This is the main part of it.
Mm. And what are some of the ways that you build this supportive relationship, especially with the boys that you work with?
Number one, we start giving them some amount of attention, building a rapport. We start looking for behaviors that they can be better, they can exhibit better. So ideally, and then we praise them, contingent to the behavior, like you drum very well. Hey, very good. That's good. Nice. I like that. Beautiful. Try it again. So it has to be contingent to the behavior. So you praise them for what they actually do, not just in a false way, but really this is what you're doing. Wow, I like that. Give them the wow feeling in small doses, slowly, 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 increase more. Again, depending upon how they are performing. This makes a lot of change. They get attracted by it and they start connecting with you. And then slowly, slowly, you can see a change in them. The more you give it to them, the more they like it. All the kids like to be given that attention. And then you capitalize on it and make some changes. So that it follows through. And then you see a lot of major changes in them, in their behavior too.
Mm. And does this actually translate into them being more open to learning?
Sure, because they build a trust in you. They trust you. More and more, there's trust building. So as they trust you more, they've got lots of baggage inside them, emotional baggage, and they trust you. They start opening up and talking to you, and more of this stuff will come out. It is easier for us to help them in that respect. So slowly, 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 we get involved. So that's why sometimes it takes about 2 years, 3 years to really get involved in them, to see some changes in them. They trust you, they open up, and then we start helping them, and they start moving forward. And more will come out. So they become more open enough, they can trust you open and tell them about their inner feelings. So it helps us to make some changes and push them forward.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you face, particularly when it comes to working with boys here?
One is sometimes, it's not the boys we have difficulties, but the people that be behind them, which means like in the orphanages and all, they have difficulties to understand the boys because maybe probably they have not gone through the training that we have gone through. So they will start giving them negative in the way like treating them as a norm. Like, you're punished because you've done something bad. This is what you have to go through. This is going to help you. So it's not the boys that we have difficulties, but it's the persons, the caregivers. That is our challenges.
So that was counselling psychologist Balasubramaniam Somasundaram, who works with Good Kids, a social enterprise that does a lot of work with at-risk urban youth here in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost seems like a no-brainer, isn't it? When you hear him say, what the kids need is attention, or what they need is someone to listen to them.
Isn't that the very basis of parenting?
Know, right. Yeah.
And parenting and mentoring, which comes from teachers.
Yeah. And yet, even in the article that I read about with Raykart, you know, the fact that he had to say something like, and this he was talking about parents who are raising boys, saying it's, you know, one of the most important things you can do is to let your son know that you want to spend time with him.
Mm.
And it feels almost sad that needs to be said.
Mm. And is that because... Because we've ingrained those gender stereotypes in our children and in the way that we parent, so that we generally more we acknowledge the fact that girls need time,
attention.
Girls need attention, girls need emotional intimacy, and we actually neglect that in boys because we think it's not important for them, or that
neglect it, or even tell them, why are you like this, why are you so sensitive,
it's seen as mollycoddling them, right?
Yeah, or even things like don't cry like a girl, which basically suggests that if something hurts you, that you somehow don't have the right to seek comfort because only girls do that.
That's right. So that idea that you have to keep it all in, be stoic, and that leads to so many other issues, issues with social interactions, with mental and emotional health, with the way that men are unable to express themselves and even seek help.
Apparently even the education.
That's right.
Did it surprise you guys to hear this idea that this relationship that the boys have with their teachers may actually be one of the key reasons why they could be learning better?
It didn't surprise me only because my mother was a teacher and she taught in an all-boys school. Mm. And she would, share how when she had that sort of, she'd take an interest in their personal lives and, she'd help them through their problems. And she would tell me how they would then improve. Mm-hmm. They lacked the attention at home and she would give that attention. And she was great. She was a wonderful teacher and, really cared about them. Even sometimes when they ran away from home, they'd come to her. So it doesn't surprise me as much because...
I've seen it.
My mother, when she was teaching, she saw that for herself as well.
And I do notice that, and this is something I realize is more common with boys. And of course, in my case, it's anecdotal. But in some of the volunteer work that I've done, I always find that boys are hungry for adults who would just listen to them, who will give them that space to communicate and talk. Possibly because I think, again, it's not viewed as something that is... they're not given many spaces in which they can do so freely. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, well, shouldn't you be doing something else? What is all this, needing to talk business?
That's a girly thing.
Yeah. And so I found it really interesting how that relationship can actually be so instrumental in education, which we do view as important.
Yeah, I think what surprised me was that it's important that it comes alongside what parents are doing at home. So it's over and above, you hear of stories where teachers step in as the so-called father or the parent figure when a boy has problems at home. But no, it shouldn't only be in cases like this because they're two very different environments that boys are being exposed to. Home and the school environment is so different that teachers are just as instrumental outside of the home.
I found it so striking how in that survey that Reichert did, that the thing that most boys were saying was not the things the teachers were doing in the classroom, but rather the teachers' personalities and the relationship that they had, which means that these things do make a difference and that they are important. Mm-hmm. So we were asking on Twitter, right, about exactly that, the relationship you build with your teachers.
Yes, so we asked you if you had a good relationship with your teachers during your school years, and your options were yes, no, or only a few of them. And so far, 46.7% of you have said yes, that you did have a good relationship with your teachers. That's really great to hear. 40% of you have said only with a few of them. I think that's quite understandable. But there was about 13.3% of you who said no. That's quite sad. Jason Leong did tweet in to say that the most important supportive relationship when it comes to learning is a boy's relationship with his father. So, okay.
Mm. But I think what's interesting is Reichert's actually pointing out that the teacher's relationship with the boys are just as important as the boy's relationship with father and mothers.
Mm-hmm. And often, I suppose, where there is a gap in that home relationship, the teachers, again, viewing them as not a bond that just happened, but rather a professional position.
Yes, that's right.
Then it's almost their job to fill that gap because they're... Technically, they should be trained to hold those positions, right? Mm-hmm. It actually got me thinking about whether are we expecting a little too much
from
our teachers, right? It's a lot. It's a lot of responsibility to put on a teacher.
And for so many students, there's sometimes 40 students in a class, right?
But I feel like teachers today are too bogged down with administrative and academic responsibilities. And we are hearing more and more about the importance of education being more than just academic. So if we can take off those menial duties almost, you know, and allow teachers to really connect with students, that's where the balance can be found.
And perhaps that's where findings like these would be most important, to point out that, you know, most people can do paperwork and filing, right? But you need people who are specially trained and who can understand the importance of that role to fulfill these kinds of jobs. And that's where the education is the most important, not in having folders arranged and papers filed.
Everything noted.
Or administering exams,
Well, that is all the time we have today on that. But you can continue to share your thoughts with us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Or you can look us up on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. So if you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app, or on Spotify. I'll leave you now with Better Things by The Kinks on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.